There is a fable that Satan's agents were failing in their various attempts to lure a holy man into sin. This man lived as a hermit in the desert of North Africa, and on every attempt, they missed their mark. And so Satan, angered at the incompetence of his subordinates, became personally involved in the case. He said, "Now listen, the reason you have failed is that your methods are too crude for one so devoted as this man. Now watch as I take a different approach." And so Satan drew close to the holy man, and with great care, he whispered softly in his ear, "Your brother has just become the Bishop of Alexandria." And immediately, this man's face flushed and revealed that Satan had been successful. A great scowl was now visible and his eyes tightened up. Satan looked at the others and he said with a smile, "Envy is often our best weapon against those sincere saints who pursue holiness." Envy. Shakespeare called it the green sickness. Francis Bacon admitted envy takes no holiday. Horace declared that tyrants never invented a greater torment, and Barry wrote, "Envy is the most corroding of the vices." Essayist Joseph Espine says that envy has a nickname: the least fun sin. Of the seven deadly sins, only envy is no fun at all. There's plenty of research to back up his statement. Psychologists have found that envy decreases life satisfaction and dampens well-being. Envy is positively correlated with depression and neuroticism, and the hostility it breeds may actually make us sick. Current research suggests that envy can help explain our complicated relationship with social media. It often leads to destructive social comparisons, which steal our happiness. Yeah. Social media encourages envy. Facebook encourages envy. Hello. Many of you today, right here, right now, It's 20 to 10. You've already been on Facebook. You've already posted. You've already wished somebody a happy birthday. You've already done something, and you have to beware. The wealth of social information presented on Facebook is astounding. And while this technology allows users to be connected and up to date with friends, both old and new, it also produces a basis for social comparison and envy at an unprecedented level. And I don't think I need to say this, but I will. Pastors and people in vocational ministry are not immune. Let's look at a biblical example of envy. One of the most challenging tests in life is to have a sibling who seems to have become more successful than you. Exodus records the story of Miriam as the protective older sister of Moses. It was Miriam's quick thinking that suggested to Pharaoh's daughter that baby Moses could be nursed by his own mother. And then Miriam watched as her brother grew up in the lap of luxury in the royal household of Pharaoh. Miriam and Aaron watched their brother rise to greatness. Both Miriam and Aaron held high positions among the children of Israel. Miriam was distinguished as a prophetess above all the women. And Aaron had been designated by God as the high priest. the spiritual head of the nation. But as they gazed upon the elevated position of Moses, Miriam and Aaron became envious. They resented Moses' status with God and with Israel. Miriam was the instigator of the open rebellion because she and Aaron could not find fault with the way Moses was leading the people. They chose to pick on his wife. But this was a smokescreen, wasn't it? A smokescreen for the real issue. The real issue at hand was envy. And you and I both know that envy did not perish with Miriam and Aaron. It lives in the heart of every human being. And so we need to decide what to do with it. It's often the strategy Satan uses against good people, sincere people who are hot in the pursuit of holiness, people who love Jesus. There are so many gross temptations which have no power over sincere saints, but envy. It threatens to steal our joy and to rob us of the peace that is offered in Christ. So what exactly is envy? Well, sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words. But let's go a little deeper than that little pucker there. All right. Envy is a feeling of irritation or unhappiness at the blessing and good fortune of others. The painful and often resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by someone else. Envy screams from the heart. I resent your successes. I resent your blessings. I resent your good fortune. The envious man, the envious woman, feels others' fortunes are his misfortunes. Their profit, her loss. Their blessing, his bane. Their health, her illness. Their promotion, his demotion. Their success, his failure. That's envy, friends. And although they are often used interchangeably, envy is not the same as jealousy. Jealousy is an unpleasant suspicion or resentment arising from fear or mistrust of another person. It's intolerant of rivalry. There is a third person, there is a rival, a triangle. And we fear when we're jealous that we'll lose what we already have. Envy is different. Envy is more sophisticated of the two. It is a painful and resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, and it's accompanied by a strong desire to possess that same advantage. Envy wants to have what someone else has. Jealousy wants to possess what it already has. Jealousy is coarse and cruel. Envy is sneaky and subtle. Jealousy clutches, it smothers. Envy is forever reaching, longing, striving, wishing, resenting. We can envy for a lot of reasons. The 12-year-old envies the 16-year-old who has his driver's license. The 20-year-old envies the 20-year-old upstart in the company, envies the vice president or whatever. We envy for reasons related to age, to physical appearance, to health, to the well-being of our children, wealth, possessions. We envy the experiences other people are afforded, vocational opportunities. We envy others for their relationships, for their talents, for their family, for their children. I grew up envying my friends who had grandparents because I had grandparents, but both my grandfathers had died before I was born. I never really knew my grandmothers, and I grew up around kids who had all four grandparents within a few miles. And I saw those kind of relationships, and I envied that because I had no idea of what it was like. Thankfully, I was adopted by a few of them. Well, the list is endless, isn't it? I almost said the list is envious. The list is endless. There are so many situations and circumstances that can lead us down into that ugly pit of envy and make us, in our hearts at least, be feeling just like that little girl. Now, I want to peel back the layers of envy, because if we're going to conquer it, if we are, by the grace of God, going to live above envy, we need to see it for what it really is. I want to peel back the layers. First of all, on the surface, we envy because of insecurities. We feel insecure for some reason. Typically, it's caused by comparisons and comments. We feel insecure because we compare ourselves to other people. We feel insecure because we listen to the comments of other people. Someone's a better singer. Someone's a faster worker. Someone, whatever. We hear comments, right? And those comments hurt us. They cause us to be insecure. We make comparisons. Social psychologist Maury Silver says this: we are a society obsessed with comparisons. To be human is to compare ourselves with others. People can be comparable in work, in salary, in almost anything. And this is the basis of envy. You must first compare, and then in the comparison, you feel deprived. You feel cheated. We're taught to compare. Parents may have compared you with siblings or friends or cousins. And we have teachers, coaches, standardized tests, performance evaluations at work, beauty contests. Our society not only encourages envy, it seems it requires envy to maintain itself. I think envy runs, it fuels the economy. You know, my neighbor got a new car, so I'm not going to buy a new car. My neighbor's putting an addition on their house, well, maybe I should put an addition on my house. Betsy Cohen writes that we encourage everyone to look better, do better, learn more, have more. Our society creates inevitable comparisons and inevitable dissatisfaction. Advertising is one of the primary culprits. In the United States alone, the advertising industry spends billions of dollars a day. The result is that envy is pervasive, and far too many of us live in a perpetual state of longing, wishing, striving. And so let's peel back the layers. We're insecure. That insecurity is caused by comparisons and comments. And it leads to blindness. Not seeing or being thankful for the blessings of God in my own life. Envy causes me to only be able to see what I don't have or I have not experienced. I'm blind to my blessings. And so there's a sound bite for you today. You write it down. Envy makes me blind to my blessings. Say it with me. Envy makes me blind to my blessings. Now, I'm insecure. It's because of comparisons and hanging on to comments that you may have heard decades ago, but they've burned into your brain. You may even be repeating them to yourself. We're insecure because of comparisons and comments. These comments lead to blindness. Envy makes me blind to my blessings. And this blindness is rooted in a bitterness towards God. Now that's the hard pill to swallow here today. I believe this with all my heart. I believe Scripture supports it. At the core, envy finds God guilty of not being good. Just go to Genesis 3. Just go to Genesis 4. Just go to Exodus. I mean, do you want me to just stand here for the next 15 minutes and give you biblical examples? All right. Envy makes a judgment about God. Envy declares that God is guilty of not being good. And so there it is. There's our problem. We are bitter at God, towards God, because He hands out blessings to everyone. Of all the things that God would bless everyone, and that someone else's blessings might be different than mine, and I might not have what you have of all the nerve, God. Now that is a little bit funny, but that's funny because it's childish, right? It's childish. It's selfish. It's greedy. Envy's greedy. And so there's where I need to get on my knees and acknowledge what's really going on. I'm insecure because I make comparisons and I listen to and remember forever comments, and it causes me to be blind to my own blessings, and it's all because I'm bitter toward God. I'm declaring Him not good. So that leads us to just examine the truth about the state of mind that envy creates. Envy creates a toxic state of mind. Number one, envy erodes my identity in Christ. When we envy, one of the things that we're not repeating to ourselves is, I am the one whom Jesus loves. Because that would get in the way of our envy, right? My identity in Christ is I am loved by Christ. I am cherished by Christ. He died in my place to purchase my redemption. I'm made in His image, in the image of God. And my identity is a beautiful, powerful thing. And envy erodes that identity and causes in my heart a transformation, an ugly transformation, where my identity now is just that of a person who can't be satisfied, filled with striving and longing and so many unsatisfied emotions. Envy erodes my identity from Christ. And then naturally, envy distances me from God. As I envy and I get deeper and deeper into that kind of lifestyle or mindset, I don't draw near to God. I'm actually drifting away from Him. Why? Because I'm angry at Him. Because He's handing out so many blessings and I don't have many of them. I don't have a lot of them. And so envy distances me from God. Third, and this is where it starts to affect the congregation or the community, envy destroys community. It destroys relationships. Envy can ruin reputations, split churches, cause murders. It can shrink our circle of friends, ruin our business, dwarf our souls. God gets angry about our envy because he knows that envy is divisive, driving people into isolation. In James 3:16, we read this, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." You can write that down. That's James 3:16, kind of like John 3:16, James 3:16. Do you see now how this has the potential to be so destructive in your own mind, in your family, in your church, in your community, in your workplace? "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Envy destroys community. And that's the natural fallout from being distanced from God and having my identity eroded. Well, finally, envy poisons both my mind and my body. It really puts me in a toxic state. And literally, ask doctors. The research there's plenty of research that would do more than suggest that these toxic emotions have a devastating effect on our physical health. Envy shoots at others and wounds itself. And so I need to realize, okay, I better do something about this. I better have a game plan. I better have a strategy. God is sounding an alarm here. And in Christ, I have the tools, the resources to be able to live in a different state of mind. And that is to let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. Now, how is it that I can come to a place where I let the peace of Christ rule in my heart? Number one, I need to call envy what it is and admit my feelings. What is envy? It is bitterness towards God. You can't just say, "Well, you know, I'm insecure. You're not going to deal with it." That's just an excuse. Envy is bitterness at God. I need to call it what it is and admit my feelings. So, here's a few questions you can ask yourself to see if envy might be creeping into your heart. Are you upset when acquaintances or colleagues advance professionally or socially? Do you feel pain because of another person's success? Do you belittle the accomplishments, the talents, or appearance of other people? Do you realize that criticism is often nothing more than a low-grade envy? Do you belittle the accomplishments, the talents, or the appearance of others? Are you tempted to badmouth or sabotage a person to whom you feel inferior? Are you secretly pleased when a friend or even a loved one suffers a setback? Now, we're all fallen people, and I think we're guilty of these kinds of things. And so what do we do? Here's what we do. We stop, challenge, and choose. You can feel this in your body. You can feel this in your mind, right? And so you have to say to yourself, stop. This isn't the peace of Christ that's meant to guard my heart and my mind. I'm going to stop. And I'm going to challenge envy in my heart, because I decide whether I'm envious or not. Say it with me. I decide whether I'm envious or not. It's not your husband's fault. It's not your boss's fault. And it sure ain't my fault. I decide whether I'm envious or not. Stop, challenge, choose. Stop and think, challenge your own heart, and choose the mind of Christ. Paul said, I put on the mind of Christ. Choose the mind of Christ. And when I do that, then I can come through then with the following behaviors. I can stop making comparisons. I can stop comparing myself to other people. I didn't say it was easy. I said it was worth it. I can use envy as an incentive for change. You know what it feels like to be envious. I honestly believe Epstein's comment. Envy is the least fun sin. And you can call it what it is. You can stop making comparisons. You can give the comments that are banging around in your head to Jesus. You can use envy as an incentive to change because you don't want to live in that toxic mindset. Number four, you can reaffirm your uniqueness and your choices. You have individual talents. You are a unique individual. God made you that way. And there are certain things that He has put on earth for you to do. And you can celebrate your uniqueness and the choices that you made. Number six, then, and this is the big one. This is something that you need to decide to do. You need to surrender to the mind of Christ, saying yes to God, and you decide then every day, I am going to be happy for other people. All right, say it with me. Every day, say every day. One more time. Every day, I am going to be happy for other people. Say it with me. Every day, I am going to be happy for other people. If you're the outline type and you've done a splendid job today with your outline, okay, I want you to write a big word on your outline every day. I'm going to be happy for other people. I am going to celebrate the blessings of others. Now, I want you to think about something with me. One of the delusions of envy is that it isolates a particular circumstance from the rest of the person whom we envy. We covet what they are experiencing without a true knowledge of all of the other issues that they face. And that's not fair. You can't separate their blessings from their burdens. You got to eat the whole enchilada. You see, if we would just remind ourselves of this one truth, that although this person has this opportunity, they have these experiences, they own this, whatever, they also have a lot of burdens. They also have stuff that they're struggling with that you might not ever know about. And that's part of the package. That's the whole experience for them. But no, we just want that one part and add it to ours. That's childish, right? If we would just remind ourselves of this one truth, we could learn to be happy for others. We would go from being irritated at their good fortune to being thankful they have this blessing to be present in their burdens. And then all of a sudden you find yourself praying that God would bless other people instead of wishing their experience was yours. You got to be happy for other people in their joy and in their prosperity as God has given it to them. Finally, you need to find your contentment and significance in Jesus. If you do not do that, I don't know if you will have victory in this area. You have to find your contentment and your significance in Christ. That's where you learn how to put all this together. And you can live in a state of thanksgiving, aware of your own blessings and the blessings of others, and be happy for both. And really rejoice with those who rejoice. It's easier to weep with those who weep, isn't it? But we're also told to rejoice with those who rejoice. And it all comes down to, am I going to let God be God, or am I going to be bitter about the way he hands out good fortune to other people? Let's pray.